Adam Sandler. Beautiful little clip, huh? This week we're talking about in James, we're starting the third chapter in James, and James talks about this beautiful thing that I don't have down. And it's about taming the tongue. And as I was preparing for this teaching, this is the clip that just stuck in my head. This wishy-washy flip back and forth of, oh, I'm sorry, baby, I love you. You know I love you. Good, get out of my life forever. And I thought, this is real stuff. We laugh at it. We think it's funny, just primarily because it's Adam Sandler. He's pretty awesome. But some of this stuff happened in my life just last night. And as I was telling the team this morning, I was telling them, I don't want to teach on this. This is another one of those James passages that I don't want to teach on, primarily because it's so raw for me. It's so fresh for me that I don't have it down. I have it down in some areas. I have it down with certain people. But the part where this taming of the tongue really hits home for me is my home. I can give you grace all day long if you would come into my office and unload a laundry list of stuff and how stupid you've been throughout the week or how good you've been throughout the week, and I will meet you with grace. And then when we get into my home, I for whatever reason, there's a disconnect with my children and with my wife. And that's the disclaimer I want to give you this morning. It is so raw for me. It is so fresh for me. I didn't sleep at all last night because it's so fresh because of we just had a conversation yesterday that still spills over into today. A tension between my wife and I. And when I talk about my wife and I want you to understand that I don't throw her under the bus when I'm on the stage. Other than when I call her a cougar. And that's just true because she's older than me. But when I talk about my wife and I's relationship from the stage, some of you get really nervous and some of you get super tense because, oh, the grime, the real life of marriage. And I think to some extent, you don't want to see me in a light that is less than a lead pastor. But I've got news for you. All the lead pastors I know are jacked up. And so when I speak about these things with my wife and I have an understood relationship that she says, if this can be used to teach, you have my permission. No matter how grimy, no matter how fresh, you have my permission, because hopefully what this does is sparks growth within you, within me, within us, within Laramie. Within the world. So this is fresh for me. I am the Adam Sandler. Oh, baby, that's not what I meant. I love you. But you suck. I'm that way with my kids. And it's hard for me at home to be what James calls us to. Should we read the words of James? Can we do that? If you brought your Bible, I know it's dim lit. I know it's kind of hard to read in here, but please grab it. We're in James 3. If you hit Hebrews, James is just right after that. It's in the New Testament, which would mean it's the back of your Bible. If you need a Bible, the printed copy of the Word, we have Bibles that we give you for free out on the table, so please take one. Don't leave here without one if you don't have one. If you have a cell phone, please grab one of the apps, YouVersion. Is beautiful. There's another one that I can never remember the name of, but it's really good stuff, and it's free, and you have hundreds of Bibles at your access. Anybody read Portugal? You can get that on there. So, anyway, read with me. This is coming out of the NIV, the New Industrial Version. You guys ready? It's James 3, 1 through 12. James says this. And remember, the people that he's writing to are Jewish people that are spread out throughout the nation, that are spread out through all these little different camps because they are being oppressed. Their doors are getting kicked in because of their Christian faith, because their Christian faith challenges the Jewish history and culture that they've been living in all these years. And they're following Jesus, okay? So remember, this is the audience that he's speaking to. He says this, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Well, isn't that awesome? "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a spring produce fresh water." A lot of times, again, we want to look at James and we think it's just this disjointed ADHD ramblings of James. Oh, and this. Oh, and by the way, this. And oh, don't forget about that. When in fact, it's not. It's talking to an oppressed people. This is all one letter talking to an oppressed people who are getting their doors kicked in and arrested for their faith and being imprisoned and being harmed for the name of Jesus. And so if you remember anything from James 1 and James 2, some of the things are, consider it pure joy. Joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Be careful in those trials that when they come, you do not give way to the temptation that's going to be there to strike out and lash out at these people. Because when you do that, when you give way to that temptation, you give birth to sin in your own life. And then you and God have to reconcile stuff. But don't do that. Don't do that to these people that are oppressing you. Two weeks ago, I talked about the rich, right? We talked about not showing favoritism to people, rich people, people of race, which is every people. Not showing favoritism to people of wealth or lifestyle. And this is all because, you know, there are rich oppressors amongst this group that are oppressing these people. And they're like, look, man, you don't do this. There's a better way of life. And he continues to call these people back to this way of life. Look, long story short, the life he's calling him to is a very humble, humility-filled lifestyle. You see it from verse 1 in chapter 1 all the way through the third chapter, all the way to the end of James. He calls us to this disciplined life. He calls us to something different than what went on in my home last night and the last few weeks. He calls us to something different than the way I've chosen to live my life for a long time that takes time to turn around. And today, he hits on the tongue. How we speak to one another. But it's interesting. I mean, if you want to tune out, because he did just say leaders in the beginning. So I'll just teach myself. There's a bathroom mirror I believe I can go look in and just talk to myself. Deal? Tough room. Tough room. So what's he talking about? He's talking about the tongue and how we use it to abuse people. He's talking about the tongue and how we use it to boast about ourselves. And I suppose the way in which it happens in my home is I kind of have this unspoken mentality that comes out in weird ways when people do something other than the way in which I would do things. And I talk condescendingly to these people. My wife, my children. What are you doing that for? Why are you doing it like that? And what they hear is, you're stupid. Your way is inferior. Let me do it my way. And that's a form of boasting in and of itself, because I've cornered the market on life, right? In my 34 years of experience, I've done it all. And I know the best way to do things. And this is how I speak to my wife and kids. And so I make great boasts without boasting by showing them through my words and my actions, this is how you should do it, and you're dumb if you don't do it my way. Well, if you want to take more time doing it that way, that's fine. Or if you're, yeah, it's just how it comes out within me. Others, we're good at boasting, right? We love to toot our own horn. Any horn tooters in the room? Yeah. Hey, I'm one of the best musicians you've ever met. Hey, my cooking is better than anybody's. Hey, I'm such a giver of money and my time to the church. Did you know that you can boast spiritually like that? And it sucks. Just as bad as when you're not boasting spiritually. So we use our tongue. We use our tongue to damage people. We use our tongue to lash out at people. And James, he uses all this incredible imagery, which is just beautiful. And he's realistic about what sin is, right? Okay, so sin, he's not calling people to perfection, right? What does he say? We all stumble. He's not saying you all stumble. He's saying, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. He's not saying, look at me, I'm perfect. You need to follow me like that. He's not saying, I've got this figured out. He's saying, we all stumble, and this is something that's going to continue to happen because we don't have our tongues tamed. It's just beautiful, the imagery that James continues to use through all these chapters leading up to chapter 3, you know, in 1:6 he talks about a wild flower, in 1:10 he talks about a crown. In 1:12 he talks about childbirth, in 1:15 he talks about lights and shadows, in 1:17 he talks about a mirror. 1:23 it goes on and on and on, but this, he's likening our tongue to this very small thing that's within this, well, I have a huge body, but I'm big boned, okay? And I know without my beard you see multiple chins, but it's coming back, okay? But you see this thing being a real problem, and James is likening it to this tiny little thing that causes so much damage. And what's beautiful, and devastating is he likens it to a spark that just sets a forest ablaze, and it spreads and destroys. I find it interesting that he didn't use like an illustration about like an axe or anything like that. You know, an axe can chop down a tree and devastate a tree, and once the tree's fallen, that's the end of the story. That's done. But I think he's very specific in the words that he chooses, because he uses it as a forest fire that spreads and destroys not just one tree as an axe would, but every tree, everything around it, the ground, the trees, homes. That's the power of this beautiful muscle we have in our mouth. And a lot of times we want to mask things and we want to say things like, well, you know, I just talk and, you know, they got to love me for who I am. That thought went through my head last night in my spout. It's my marital issues with my wife. As my wife talked and tried to correct and tried to steer me back and tried to tell me exactly the words that are in James, I sat there silent, and the words that went through my head were, I know she knows who I am. We've been together 18 years, actually, we've been together, total, married to 14 of them. She knows who I am. She knew what she was getting when she married me, so I don't see what the issue is. This is how it's been. This is how it's always going to be. And we say things like this to excuse, no, that's just how it is. I speak the truth. If you don't like it, so what? If you're hurt by it, it's truth. It ain't my problem. And we excuse it, but James says, James isn't amused by these excuses. James is calling these people who are paying the price literally with their lives for Jesus and saying, you know what? They're probably thinking, I have every right to be upset and to lash out with my words and my tongue and to verbally thrash these people. James says, no. That's a hard concept, isn't it? I do it to people whom I love. And it's hard for them to see that I love them because I do these things. Let alone people that need Jesus the most, people that don't know Jesus, the people that would curse you. What did Jesus say about that? Bless those that pray for those that curse you. Right? These are tough, hard life concepts. And James knows it. He's a teacher. He will be judged more harshly for the things that he teaches and tries to live up to and fails to live up to and succeeds to live up to. And so we make these excuses. It's just who I am. It's just how I do things. It's just my way of life. Well, I know I talk too much. Ha, ha, ha. LOL. And it's not the it. Craig Johnson, who spoke last week, my associate, and I, we keep talking about doing a sermon series, a teaching series. And I will clean up the title for you, called Own Your Crap. And what happens is when we make these excuses, and I'm guilty of it, I'm right there. I thought it last night to get myself out of a wrong position, to get myself into a little better light with my wife and with God. I mean, it wasn't happening because I wasn't humble in that. I wasn't teachable in that. I was deaf in the moment to my wife, who was just speaking what's in Scripture. I was deaf in that moment. Oh, yeah, but. But I'll figure it out. Oh, well, I'm not that bad. I'm terrible. I really, really am. I'm terrible with my tongue. And James calls it out. Yes, you are terrible with your tongue. You cannot tame this thing. This thing just runs rampant. I think of, he talks about wild animals, birds and those things being tamed. And I think about all these tamed animals that people do shows with and have living in their homes. And in the last probably 15 years, you remember the chimpanzee that was living and sleeping in this woman's bed for 20 plus years. And then one day it went on a rampage and ripped her friend's face off. Do you remember this? Do you not? Look it up. Oprah had her on the show, and this woman just has a blank skin face, like this gorilla ripped her apart. But it's this wild animal who is tame, but yet still a wild animal. You guys know the magicians, right, out of Vegas? Hans and Franz, I don't know what their name is. But they had these white Bengal tigers. They had these white Bengal tigers, and they had them for years in their show, and they did well with them, and they never had an incident. And all of a sudden, one of the tigers decided he looks good to eat, and the tiger mauled his trainer, and he was in serious condition. But this is after years and years and years of having these wild animals in this show, and hey, they did what wild animals do. That's the reality of this thing that lives within our mouth. That's the power that it holds. It can maul in an instant. It can destroy in an instant. It can whip. It can maim. And this phrase that is used, he talks about the body, but he's not talking about the body as in like the body of white water or the body of Christ. He's talking about it will set the course for you. In the Greek, it talks about the wholeness of you in the very Jewish sense of the word, you. This sets the course for you and your life by how your tongue destroys. And so when we destroy others with our tongue, which I've witnessed firsthand in my own life, it's easy for us to just continue to destroy others, other things, other people. Other races, other lifestyles that differ with ours. Our situation. Anybody practice negative self-talk on a regular basis? Yeah? And it just starts creeping in and working its way into our lives and gets so deeply rooted that we don't really know where it's at. We don't know what the cause is. We don't know how we got here. But it's this tongue. And James calls us and says, no. Own your crap. Swallow your pride. Be humble before your God. And be disciplined in how you speak. Sometimes I can sit silent, and as you heard the words that run through my head, she knew what she was getting. Real prize. Jesus had something to say about that too. If you think it, you've done it. If you think it in your heart, you've done it. Man, that sucks. I've thought a lot of poison. He talks about that. It's poison. It corrupts the whole body. I've thought a lot of poisonous thoughts about some of my leadership on the church throughout the years, that we've had to lead with one another and we've had to be graceful with one another, and we'd get done with a meeting and I think I've cornered the market and I know best when I'm talking to gentlemen who are, you know, twice my age, some of them, not quite. And I come away from these meetings and I think, you are such an idiot. If you would just listen to yourself. And then I go and I'd spew to my wife. So think of that. Think of this forest fire. I come from a meeting. I'm upset. What's wrong, dear? Let me tell you. Start your engines. Whew. Then what's her thought process going to be about other people? About church people? And some of it I want to justify under the umbrella of, you know what, this is holy anger. This is righteous anger. But it goes beyond that. Almost every single time it goes beyond righteous anger. It goes into Adam being right. It goes into Adam not being humble. It goes into Adam sinning through my words, through my tongue, through my thoughts. And James says, no, it ain't gonna fly. These are the reality, and I hate talking like this. I really do. I hate coming up here, airing dirty laundry, even if I have permission to teach through my beautiful life example. Because it shows me that I'm nowhere near where I want to be. I'm not the person who I boast that I am. I'm not the leader that you could have. You should have. But then I think, this isn't just my story. You and I share threads of all of this. You and I share this burden together. And together, much like when I would get together with my wife and spew and be angry about things with people or circumstances or we rarely want to shut people down in those moments because we think we just need to let them vent. We rarely want to call them to a higher standard because they just need to talk it out. And James says, you, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth, praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters, no, this should not be. And so I wish I had tips. I wish I had tricks. I wish I could tell you from a place of, I've conquered this like this. I've come through and I'm better and I did all of these things, or I read a certain book, or I've got a good rein on my tongue. I wish I could come at you at a place like this to give you some kind of 5% that you'd walk out of these doors and you would say, oh, that's what I need to do. But James didn't teach it that way. I can't teach it that way. But know that being called to this higher standard, this higher way of living, if you claim Jesus Christ, if you claim Holy Spirit lives within me, blessings and curses cannot flow from the same mouth. Your tongue can no longer be a weapon against your spouse. I'm talking to myself. Against your children, I'm talking to myself. Against your coworkers, against your employer. That's a tough one, isn't it? Again, I wish I could come at you with some fix for this, but the tongue is a wild animal, and after so many years, after so many months, after so many weeks, it will do what wild animals do best. And the only way I know how to combat that is to just be disciplined, be on the watch for it. The only way I know how to combat that is within your families, within your community, within this body. If it begins to happen, will you give permission to those around you to cut you off? To say, no, brother, no, sister, blessings and curses cannot flow from the same spirit. Salt water and fresh water do not come out of the same spring. Will you give permission to your family? My wife was even trying to give me an easy out last night, and she said, she's smiling at me, and said, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And I'm going to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that you know what you do in those times. As I was trying to defend, well, I didn't know, babe. That's not what goes on in my heart when I say these things. But I still say them. So you need to give permission to those around you, to your husbands, to your wives, to your children. Parents, how about being rebuked by your children? How awesome is that? To call you to a higher standard so you can own your crap, so you can be humble before your God. So then you are able to take these things and consider them pure joy, brothers and sisters. You can take these terrible life circumstances and see God through them because you're putting yourself in a right place. God, we love you. And I hate that you get me up here to talk like this. God, I hate that you get me up here to speak on things that are unresolved in my own life that are so fresh as even as of last night. God, this thing that James talks about of controlling our tongue is this thing that we don't go at alone, this thing that we do not swing in the wind and try and hope we hit. God, it's in conjunction, it's with your Holy Spirit that any of these things are possible. And if we spent less time trying to silence your Holy Spirit in these matters of taming our tongue, in these matters of humility, if we spent less time trying to deafen your spirit and more time listening to it, God, our lives would look drastically different than they do now. Our view of the gospel would look drastically different than it does now. Our view of Jesus and God would look drastically different than it does now. And so, if God, forgive us when we talk through your voice, when we talk through your spirit, when we talk over what you ask us to do. God, when we make excuses, God, today, may we make that choice to start owning our crap. May we make that choice to start moving forward and not making excuses for our sin, God, but make excuses no more. No more. God, may we own it so that we can just be humble in front of you. God, and through that humility, you throw doors wide open. You throw doors open that allow us to serve you in capacities that we've never dreamed were possible. God, through Scripture, this lesson of humility, you show us time and time and time again that you cannot use proud people. And so, Father, when we become prideful through our speech, when we become prideful through our speech and actions, as this sets this whole forest fire ablaze through one tiny spark, God, we repent. God, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask that you forgive this course of life that we continued to tread until this morning. God, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our friendships, in our family. Our extended family. God, we ask for your forgiveness in those times when all we've done is use our tongue to destroy and to set ablaze. God, we own that. That's on us. But God, we ask for discipline through the Holy Spirit. We ask for discipline through our neighbors around us here at Whitewater. We ask for discipline for our family around us, God, that we would be able to start to hold one another accountable to the things that we say, the things that we just pass off as that's just who I am as a person. God, I just talk too much. Well, I just speak truth, and if you don't like it, too bad. God, we own that. That's on us. Forgive us. God, through your Holy Spirit, as we give permission to those around us to correct us. God, as we give permission to you to correct us, may that be met with obedience. May that be met with humility. God, we love you. We thank you for all that you are and how you do call us to something greater than ourselves. Love, God. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.